let me just move on to the next set of questions. Like, now, what are the lessons that come out of those movements that can be applied to today's situation?
I think there are a lot of lessons. One is that we must educate ourselves and each other as to what has went in the past, and that will teach us something. Mm-hmm. And educate ourselves in terms of the need for unity. And also now, there's a need, yes, for Black and Hispanic solidarity. There's a need to develop a multiracial force. In many ways, we've always had. We sometimes don't recognize that. But I would say that, for example, Blacks and Puerto Ricans have always voted the same kind of way and have had commonality. Many times you only have to go to Puerto Rico, San Juan, and you see the Black brothers and sisters all over the place. You know, there's a commonality, and our whole movement has been about resistance. You know, I mean, we forget that in 1837, when they had the independent movement, most of the people that fought in that movement were people of Afro descent, a lot of the generals and what have you. And it's really hard put sometimes, as the brother goes, to see a brother walking down the street who's of swarthy complexion with a lot of melanin in his skin to determine whether he's Black or whether he's Puerto Rican, you know? So that's there, and I think that what the power that we have now in terms of political, there's no president, no Democratic president can be elected president of this country without that force, without Blacks and Puerto Rican or Latinos voting for it. It's just that Biden would not be president now if it wasn't for that unsaid, what Jesse calls the Rainbow Coalition. We have the power. We have to start beginning to act like we have that power and insist, not just to those like the Reaganites, but insist to the Bidens and the other Democratic hopeful, if they want our support, they have to help to address our needs. It's as simple as that.
Right.
But we have to insist, and we have to do it as a group. So that's the lessons, I think, that right. we
Yeah, and Dave was talking about, you were talking about how they crushed some of our leaders. You know, you said how they crushed Paul Robeson, and then probably what they did to Malcolm. You know, what lesson did we learn that what the state would do that maybe the people we can apply today so that people won't run into the same problem with the state crushing?
But I love my brother Dave, and I agree with him 90%, but I would take exception that they crush them. Sometimes we seem to think that because they no longer put our heroes like Paul Robeson or Stokely Carmichael on the front page, that they've crushed them. Nothing could be further from the truth. Du Bois was prolific almost up until the time he died. Stokely Carmichael was very much involved, even though he was not involved as much in the 60s in the Civil Rights Movement. But I met him at anti-apartheid meetings in the UN in the 80s. So these people still were involved. They may sometimes push you to the sideline for one reason or another, but I would not say that if you talk to Stokely in the 80s that he was crushed, or W. Du Bois or Paul Robeson. You know, these giants were still speaking. It's like Jesse. He's not on the forefront, but he's still speaking and he's still writing and doing what he can. So I would be cautious about the word crush, because I don't think they crush these giants. Mm-hmm. That's what I would.
I like what he said.
Go ahead.
I think that's true what he said. They didn't crush none of them. They might have not put us in the mass media, but all of them were working for the people. They were all struggling. And the struggle has always continued. I never gave up. Yes. So I'm just saying maybe we didn't have no headlights, and I don't want headlights. I don't want to be a star. But Stokely, Ralph Brown, A.K., Imam Jamil Al-Amin, Malcolm, they might have shot him and executed him, but to this day, people still talk. People still talk about Malcolm, of what he said. And I never forgot one of the words he said, and I have to say today in honor of Labor Day, but in the shortest month of the year, which is called Black History, that Malcolm said, "Show me a capitalist and I will show you a bloodsucker."
Right.
Dave, you want to say anything? Cause maybe I said it wrong about the crush part.
I guess the crush part was very personal for me. That's very personal for me. You know, we talk about unity. I remember Martin Luther King going out to go to the farm workers on the West Coast and meet with Chavez, the leader. And he didn't want to meet with Martin. He thought he was coming out there to upstage him. But they did plan a meeting, and they had a meeting, right? And the meeting was in a pool hall, right?
And at the headquarters.
Guess what? Both of them were pool sharks. That broke the ice, man. That broke the ice. They had something in common. So we had to understand that commonness that we had. That broke, you know. We had farm workers. When I was in Manhattan, when they came to boycott and stuff, they stayed with me on the upper west side of Manhattan. And they stayed in Chicago on the south side. So, but, you know, all I'm trying to say is they try to split us, and we have to seize the time to unite ourselves, you know. The Black Panthers had their paper. Puerto Ricans had Palante, okay? So these things are working, but we have to, what my point is, we're going to have to go out and work hard to bring people in, you know, and that's going to be... because there's so much they need to learn, you know, before they make a true commitment, you know. The one thing I'm not a fatalist, but I'm saying how many Black people are going to be killed by this virus before we say, we had it in this country, they ain't going to take care of us, all right? and the reparation card comes down. But they are not breaking down the statistics of Black people who died in this country as a result. And
that's important. Right?
It's missing. That's missing, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, the earlier pandemics, the Spanish stuff, flu and stuff like that, a Black who survived in that period was a more valuable slave in the South because he wasn't going to catch it anymore. So a Black and a slave was sold in a block in New Orleans with a couple of $100 more for him because he wasn't going to die because he had the immunity. So that's the way the game went.